Hi guys, this is Rhea, and you're listening to Less Panic, More Peace. Today, we have an amazing guest who goes by the name Dr. Ruchi Gupta, and will answer your most important questions. She's the director of an Institute for Public Health and Medicine and focuses on food allergies, as well as a professor of pediatrics at Northwestern Medicine. She also appeared in a Netflix episode. Introducing Dr. Ruchi Gupta. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and thanks so much for having me, Rhea.
Of course. So I think I've talked to you about this before, last time we spoke, but I just want to share this quick little story for the audience. So you know what's funny is that actually last week I saw my dad watching a Netflix show. I barged into his room, and I saw you on the screen, and I was truly impressed. I was like, oh my God, I'm interviewing her next week. It was really, really funny to me. It was such a coincidence, and I was really inspired and really impressed and honored to have you as my guest today. So
that's very kind. That episode was very interesting if you watched it yourself. They did a good job overall with some of the content around food allergies, but you know, as Netflix is, it's quite dramatic.
I was so interested in that episode, and it really showed a lot about food allergies, right? It's not only like the baseline of it, but it really went into how people feel, like the parents' perspective on it, and how they were like crying because they could have been their daughter. Well, I'm not going to spoil it, but you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stories that go along with it. So yeah, it's really interesting. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do? And I also understand you have a personal connection with food allergies because your daughter is allergic. So can you just share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I'm a pediatrician. I am a researcher. So I have been studying food allergy for 16 years. And really it started with, I was doing asthma research, and it was a family. So it was a couple who had two young kids with food allergies. They came to our hospital, and really listening to their story and their experiences with their kids. And now, remember, this is 16 years ago. So, you know, it wasn't that common, you know, to hear about or to talk about, and there weren't as many resources. So as they were talking about it, it really intrigued me because, you know, I studied asthma. I didn't really know much about food allergies, and it was this open area that we knew so little about. So I thought, you know, I just finished my fellowship in research, and I thought, well, maybe I can use my skills to, you know, better understand food allergies as well. And food allergies and asthma are connected. So I started studying food allergies, and about 3 years into it, my son was playing with my daughter, and he's eating a PB&J and touching her, and she breaks out in hives all over her body. And soon then she was diagnosed with food allergies. So I quickly became a food allergy parent and part of the food allergy community, and felt that I had an opportunity now not only to understand it personally, but to really do research that impacts people's lives every day. And it's kind of what I've been doing for 16 years. So three things that we do: we really do a lot of the public health research. So all the prevalence numbers, 8% of kids have food allergy, 10% of adults, severity, disparities, types of food allergies, you know, tolerance, when kids grow out of it, all of that on a national level, we study it. We also do a lot of clinical research. So we're doing a lot with prevention right now. You know, how do we prevent food allergies? We know about peanut, but what about the other foods? We're also doing a lot with understanding the natural progression of food allergies. So we have a large prospective or like large cohort that we're following over time, and watching what happens to those kids as they grow up into teens and then into adults, and what's going on with their food allergies. And then we do a lot of work with the community. So love working with the community, with schools, with policies. And I feel pretty lucky.
That's great. You actually mentioned 16 years ago, you know, there's not a lot of food allergies that people have. Like, I know my parents' generation and everything, they don't have that. They don't have food allergies as much as now. Why do you think that this generation has more food allergies, unfortunately, than the last generation?
I always say that's like the billion-dollar question these days, because it is the question you get asked. You know, I have this poster in my office, this comic strip, and it has an adult talking to a kid, and saying, you know, in my day, there were no food allergies. And then that kid grows up and is talking now, is now an adult and is talking to another kid and says, you know, in my day, there were food allergies. And I keep that on my wall because that is what we're hoping to achieve, right? So for some reason, just a generation ago, we didn't see this. So we know there is a genetic component. There always is. But what is that massive environmental component, right? Something turns on the switch to all these young children now developing food allergies. And so a couple of the big theories are the hygiene, right? Are we becoming too clean as a society? Are we using too much antibacterial soaps and cleansers, and that's wiping out our good bacteria? You know, there's C-sections, there's antibiotics, you know, that all these infants are getting. So that's one big area. The other is how we've changed how we eat and the way our food is grown and what we're putting into our diets these days. So there's a lot of hypotheses that everybody is working on, and so many researchers around the world. So hopefully we'll have a better idea on that.
I definitely concur with your hypothesis about, you know, I was going to just say, are we too clean? Are we getting cleaner? Modern medicine is improving, hygiene, everything like that. And it makes me really wonder, like, how are we, is our goal to reverse, like, kind of go back to that generation, be less clean? Is that what it is? I mean, nowadays, washing your hands and everything is the biggest priority. So it makes me really wonder.
Sorry. No, I was just going to just put in a plug for what we do know for anyone who has young infants is that if you introduce peanut products early, especially if your infant is high risk, you know, so you need to get assessed for high risk, and high risk means having severe eczema. So for anyone, you know, with young infants, I think it's really, really important to remember this, because we do have one solution to preventing at least peanut allergy, and that is introducing peanut products early in that infant's life. So that is the one thing that's been shown and proven, and we have new guidelines for. So the other stuff we're working on.
Okay, great. So if a new parent is listening right now and their child is diagnosed with peanuts, do you think that they should go to the doctors and just get a peanut test? Is that what you're saying?
No. So if there's a new and a young infant, I think the parents, caregivers should talk to their pediatrician if they have severe eczema, right? So dry, itchy, red skin. Then they need to talk to them about getting assessed by an allergist and getting peanuts in their diet if the allergist feels, you know, depending on the assessment. If they don't have severe eczema, then they should introduce peanut products in their infant after they've introduced a couple other foods and get it to be a part of their diet. The studies show that in high-risk infants, so those with severe eczema, by introducing it early, you could potentially reduce your risk of developing it by 80%. That's huge. I mean, that's a big number. So we changed the guidelines, and now we're really pushing early introduction of peanut products in all infants to help prevent peanut allergy. So we can hopefully see that number, which our last number showed that about 2.2% of children have a peanut allergy. So I want to see that go down, you know, and then we're doing a large study in our center to look at other foods, because most kids, including yourself or young adults, are have multiple food allergies, right? Not just one and not just peanuts. So now we're doing a study to look at tree nuts and egg and milk and soy and sesame. And hopefully we'll have more answers about the other foods soon.
That's great. It's really, really great what you're doing. But being a doctor, you're aiding someone else's child, right? But for you being a parent, your number one priority is to really protect your child at all costs. Is being a doctor and parent dealing with this become more real to you as like a mom's perspective rather than a doctor's perspective?
Yeah, no, that's really a great question. And I think what being a mom has done has shown me, you know, the daily challenges that everyone lives with. And just, you know, every meal you eat, you know, having to be careful, everywhere you go, having to take all these precautions, and what an impact it has on quality of life and really everything you do. And it's allowed a lot of our research to go in that direction. You know, like a lot of our school research, what are the policies in schools? What can we do to help other kids? You know, we've made on our website, you can find all these educational videos for schools elementary, middle, and high school, because what we learned is it's not natural for kids to understand that you could have a life-threatening reaction to a food, right? That's just not some way we think, right? So how do we educate so that peers can be supportive and not bullying, you know? So it gave me a perspective, and this is why I feel so lucky, is then I had a venue through my research center to be able to answer all these questions and develop interventions to support families every day. So not that I would ever, you know, wish it, you know, to have, you know, it's challenging for your kids to have food allergy, but it has allowed me to expand my research in a direction and connect with families. Like we have a conference every year. We call it the FACES conference. And I think it's so important to me to be able to have that perspective as a parent and a physician and a researcher, to be able to connect and support and learn from families who are dealing with it.
Personally, I can't relate to being a parent with food allergies. But my parents definitely can, and it hasn't been the easiest road, of course. And it's like, you know, we have multiple food allergies, all three children, and it's like, we had an allergic reaction in a different country. We had to take an EpiPen, two EpiPens in Italy. Gelato incident. It's on my first episode podcast, if you want to listen to that. But it's like, it's been hard, right? But we've learned so much, and sharing this knowledge to other people can be so beneficial, and we can actually help prevent somebody else having an allergic reaction. So speaking of prevention, I was watching your episode you were on, and you spoke about immunotherapy a little bit and how that works. So you stated if you expose children with food prone to allergies, they're less likely to have them. We kind of spoke about this before, but my dad is actually struggling with this. My brother had a allergic reaction. He actually had a peanut challenge yesterday, and he was very, very scared. My parents were they were teary-eyed a little bit, I could tell. And my brother, Xavier, before he actually had to have the peanut butter yesterday, he was crying a lot because he said, "What if I die?" And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Like, I can't believe my five-year-old brother is thinking that he could die because of something he can't even eat, can or cannot eat. And so I was very, very scared for him. I actually went because I wanted to give some support. And fortunately, he can actually have peanut butter now. And so right after he came back home, he had a Reese's peanut butter cup, and he was like, his smile really, it was really, really, I was really happy for him. And this is what, I mean, you were trying to do too, right? Trying to like prevention. So can you explain a little bit about the treatment? You know, people want to move to more panic, less panic and more peace. So can you explain about immunotherapy treatment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. I love the less panic, more peace, because that is exactly what our goal is, you know, because I think there has been a lot of fear, and a lot of kids fear that. And that, you know, that breaks my heart a little bit for hearing your brother, you know, fearing like death, you know. And so I think one thing I want to really make clear is, although, you know, kids have died due to food allergy, the numbers are very low. And most kids who have reactions do recover. And if you have those oral food challenges or treatment in an allergist's office, you know, they're prepared to deal with whatever reaction you have. So trying to get to that piece, I think it's important to know that. And we have to really teach that, so there isn't that constant fear. So what happened to your brother is great. Like, he grew out of it naturally. It sounds like he developed natural tolerance, which kids can do. For a peanut, about 20% develop natural tolerance. So they will grow out of it on their own. For egg and milk, it's higher, you know, like almost 40 to 50% may grow out of it on their own. So, and those numbers keep changing. But that what's really exciting for us is we have prevention, which we talked about, early introduction of peanuts, but now we have treatments. And there's more and more treatments coming out, because there's a lot of treatments that are in clinical trials right now. So the one FDA approved treatment is Palforzia. It's a peanut oral immunotherapy. So kind of what we talk about on the show, but it is having small amounts of peanut protein over time. So your immune system kind of programs itself to get used to having more and more. Now, we call it a treatment, not a cure, because it doesn't mean that after you're done with the treatment, you can go out and eat freely. All of that still needs to, you know, be seen. We haven't, you know, followed, there's not enough kids who've had it and followed them over time. But what it does mean is you don't fear those accidental ingestions as much, you know? So you're not going to accidentally have a tiny bit and fear death or fear, you know, a major reaction. So that is one treatment that is out there. There's a lot of physicians, a lot of allergists around the country doing oral immunotherapy for other foods too. And a lot of these companies are developing other food oral immunotherapies. The other couple things that are really cool that are coming down the pike are the patch, right? So there's a, it's called epicutaneous because it goes through the skin. So it is a patch, a peanut patch right now. And then they're looking at other food patches following that. So that's another treatment that's getting pretty close to FDA approval.
How does the patch work?
Oh, how does it work? Oh, so it's similar to oral immunotherapy, but it's through the skin. So it is a patch that you know, put on your back, and it is a company called DBV. And small amounts of the peanut protein go through epicutaneously, you know, so through your skin. So same as oral, but epicutaneous through the skin. Other things that are being studied are sublingual. So again, similar, but now you're introducing those proteins sublingual under your tongue. And then other things that are coming down the pike are injections. So there's a couple of medications that block certain pathways in the immune system that are being tested as treatments for, and this isn't food specific, this would be multiple food allergies. So that's exciting. And then there's vaccines that are being developed. So there, you know, what's so exciting and shocking to me is, even though it's been 16 years, now there are so many companies going into clinical trials to develop treatments for food allergies. So if we can treat it on one end and prevent it on the other, then maybe we will get to that comic strip of, in your generation, there were food allergies.
Yes, that makes me happy. It really does. Like, giving hope and faith to other people is what we need, especially in this world right now, we live in right now. I mean, look at like 2020, it's insane.
Oh, for sure. Yes, I 100% agree. So for food allergies, I do feel like there's hope. And in the 16 years I've been in this, I just have seen so much, you know, the NIH gives more money towards food allergies now. There's, you know, organizations like FAIR and others, AFA and AAN, and there's so many great support groups out there. And, you know, we have so many researchers all over the world getting involved in food allergy research. So I do think it's a very exciting time.
Yes, definitely. I'm actually genuinely curious, has your daughter ever had an allergic reaction before?
Oh, yeah. So very, very interestingly, my daughter, whose name is the same as yours, and so I have a very special place in my heart for you. So she is 14 now, and yes, she's had multiple allergic reactions. And her last one was also while traveling. We were actually in Spain during that allergic reaction. It was a very scary one. She ate ravioli, and we were very clear with, you know, she carried her little card, and they read it, and they 100% guaranteed no nuts. And she had a bite of it, and she just started feeling it. I don't know what happens to you, but she felt it. She felt it in her mouth. She stopped eating, and she wanted to go lay down. And she had that fear, you know, that impending doom fear, you know. And then yeah, broke into her allergic reaction with vomiting and hives, et cetera. So yeah, it's so interesting, because especially when you're not in your hometown and you don't have your hospital close by and all your resources.
Definitely.
So similar to what happened to you, you said, right?
Yeah. I mean, I actually had, well, my sister actually, she's really, really allergic to nuts, and she was allergic to eggs and seafood. And so I feel like she's more allergic than I am. But she had to take two EpiPens in Italy, And right away, like your daughter, she feels it right away. Like, okay, my throat hurts. And, you know, we had to give her 2 EpiPens on the Spanish steps in Italy. So that's the story to tell right there. But yeah, it's really rough. But I actually had an allergic reaction to Thai food. I ate nuts, felt like needles in my stomach. My throat was closing up. And honestly, I get panicked very easily. And so does my dad. So it's my mom trying to calm us down and everything. But it's really rough. And the big question is, when you're in the allergic reaction phase, everything goes from panic, right? You don't automatically like, no, we should remain peaceful and everything. So it's that inner peace that we actually have to find. So how do you find that inner peace?
So there is no way to find inner peace when you're having an allergic reaction. Okay, so I love the peace thing. It is there somewhere, but you need to go, right? Like, this is fight or flight almost for everyone. So when you start feeling an allergic reaction, it is really important to take action right away. You know, don't wait. Check the symptoms. So if you are having anything that is looking like it could be a severe reaction, right? So what we say usually is multiple systems. So the problem with food allergies, it can impact any organ system, right? So your common ones are skin. You'll get hives or swelling, itching. But then you have throat stuff, right? The throat closing. You have respiratory, trouble breathing, tightening of your chest. And then you have GI, which is very common, the vomiting. And then you have cardiovascular. Your blood pressure can drop, can feel dizzy, lightheaded. So any of those symptoms can happen. So if you are feeling, you know, multiple things happening to you, more than just like a hive, like, oh, I got a, you know, maybe I touched it, I got a hive. You should really not hesitate to use epinephrine. You know, the epinephrine auto injector is very safe. And so, you know, the fact that you all utilize it, but there's a lot of fear around using it. So I want to get rid of that fear, because it is important that if you don't know, and if you're in fear, and if the reaction seems to be getting worse, you need to use it right away, okay? Because you don't want to go down. Like, studies have shown, if you use it early and you stop that reaction, you do better. You know, you won't have as many symptoms. So one thing everyone gets nervous about the epinephrine auto injector, and I want to, you know, the safest thing you could do is assess the symptoms. If it seems severe or scary, just use the epinephrine. And you said your sister had 2. People who use it, I feel like, come back. There's studies showing that they feel better and they're not as scared because they've used it. They've seen themselves feel better and they know it's not that bad, right? So so that is one big way to have peace, to not really, you know, to be able to know that you have something in your hand and you can use it. So when in doubt, always, always use it.
Yeah, there's no harm in using it at all.
No. And so I think luckily we do have that, right? We do have something we can do. And then, you know, you were in a foreign country. I don't even know. Did she get better? Or did you end up in the emergency room? Or?
So we were in Italy and she did get better. She actually had 2 allergic reactions and then 1 each EpiPen. And the hospitals weren't amazing there. So we had our doctor, our allergist that we usually call, and we just called him. He helped us through everything mentally and physically. And it was really helpful. But yeah, she was okay afterwards. We obviously were still cautious and she only stuck to pizza and spaghetti the whole time. I mean, they're really good food anyways, so it was fine. I just want to do a little segment, just take a little break. I feel like this is going to be a little beneficial because it's similar to the 73 questions on Vogue or like Ellen's Burning questions. I'm not sure if you heard of those before, but I wanted to do it on a little twist for food allergies because I think I want to make this interesting and fun and really informative as well. So I'm just going to ask you like just 5 simple questions and you're just going to have to answer them, the fast 5 questions, okay?
Wow. Okay.
Who carries the EpiPen, you or your daughter?
Both.
Okay. When you go out with your daughter, who talks to the waiter and what do you say to the waiter about the meal? Like, how do you make it clear?
Yeah. So it used to be me. Now it's her. So that transition happens. So yeah. And what do they say?
Yeah.
She tells them about what allergies she has and the food she's ordering and makes sure that the kitchen takes care of it.
Okay, cool. And I know you mentioned a card of some sort, like that you give to the, what is on that card exactly?
So chef's card, we use it when we go to foreign or other countries, right? Because the language, you can do it in the language of the country you're going to. And so we hand that to the chef. We ask to talk to the chef. We hand it to the waiter or the chef and have them look at it and know what it says. We don't do that in the U.S. Sorry, I'm going fast.
Okay, no, it's great. It's great. More information. It's awesome. Okay, what's your step-by-step procedure in an allergic reaction?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, how do I do this fast?
You have to do it fast. It's fine.
Allergic reactions happening. You assess the symptoms. You stay with your child or your young adult and you or your friend, your parent, whoever is having the allergic reaction. You watch their symptoms carefully. And if you see them getting worse, you administer the epinephrine right away. So if you see multiple symptoms, if there's any doubt whatsoever, you administer it. And then you call 911 and you get help and support. You always be right by their side and don't delay. You know, if they're starting to tell you, I'm having trouble breathing, my throat hurts, go. You know, if they're feeling dizzy, lightheaded, and hives all over their body, go. You know, so I think delay is the worst. So give epinephrine when in doubt.
Awesome. Very well said. How have you as a parent stopped eating peanuts at home because of your child or allergy?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Yes, I have. And we talk about this a lot because it is hard and it's not always, you know, people have different views on this. Do you take the food out of your house? Do you leave it in? Do you eat it and be careful? And there's no right or wrong answer. Absolutely no right or wrong answer. You know, before we took everything out and then when we would go somewhere and she would see something with it, she would get anxious, you know? So then we brought food back in just so she knows she can be around it safely. So everyone has to do what's right for them and that there's no right answer. Basically, everyone should know they can be around the food and how to monitor their surroundings, right? And that's an important thing to teach kids because it is going to be hard to avoid all these allergens, especially if your child has a milk or egg or soy or wheat allergen, wherever they go. What you have to teach children and adults is how do you monitor your environment and make sure you're safe when you're around somebody who does have that food. So I always tell people everyone has to do what's right for them. And there is no right or wrong. There's no judgment. It's just how do we keep, you know, the child or the adult with food allergies safe. And if everybody's on board with a plan for that, then that's what matters.
100%. You know, my parents, I could see sometimes when parents sneak around some peanut butter around the house and everything. But yeah, it's definitely safe and everything. Okay, what's your favorite restaurant nearby where you live that's allergy friendly? Your go-to, maybe go-to fast food restaurant or something like that?
Oh my gosh. Chipotle probably is my daughter's favorite and very safe. Yes. And the others are always Italian or Mexican. And, you know, those are, we are always going pizza or Mexican food, which is very safe with nuts.
Yeah, same for us. Okay, so that was the fast five questions.
That's awesome, Rhea. That was excellent. That was a lot of fun and challenging, but fun.
Yeah, it's very challenging, but it's okay. So I just have a few other questions, last questions for today. But you have a lot of information and my listeners are kids and parents with food allergies. So what do you think is very useful for them to think about? Like if you were a new parent with a child who has food allergies, what is one key tip of advice you would give them?
Wait, did you say with food allergies or new food allergies? Just with
food allergies.
Gosh, one tip. I mean, I would say form your community, right? Like, so have people you trust and rely on. Find your good sources for information. And I think support groups really help, right? Learn from others because don't reinvent the wheel. You know, there are so many good resources now for food allergy families. Use people like us. You know, if you're battling your school or something, just say, well, you know, these doctors, researchers say, you know, again, here's the data, here's the information.
Yeah.
So use what's out there. Don't try to reinvent it. You know, we're all here to support you. So you have a ton of us who are on your side, and whatever you need, just reach out to people and don't, I feel like when people do find others and people with older kids who have gone through stuff and can support them, or groups like our center or others around the world, it just helps them feel this layer of support, you know, and potentially of protection, because we can help.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes people don't know exactly where to start, you know, what's step one. And I think that maybe you could go to, Facebook groups, I feel, are very helpful. I've learned from my past previous interviewers, they're saying, yeah, Facebook groups, and Facebook groups, really, people ask questions and there's a whole comment section. So I feel like social media is a great way to, you know, bounce off one another's ideas and new advancements. And speaking of advancements, do you have any new advancements that you're working on or you know about that other people with food allergies would like to hear?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. So for your daily lives, like I said, we've created a ton of videos. They're free. They have teacher guides. Share them with your schools. For now, we just created a daycare one for childcare centers, a whole training set. And then we have elementary, middle, high school. We're building a college one. You know, so many kids are going away to college, and that's a very scary time. So we have a lot of those type of resources. So do other organizations, like I mentioned, FAIR and AFA and AAN and FACT. I mean, there's so many, but they have tons of resources to offer. Advancements, we talked about the treatments on the horizon. We talked about the prevention studies we're doing, so we'll know more about. So there is a lot out there. But if you just need daily life resources, you know, please, you know, we have a lot of them on our website, which is cfar.northwestern.edu, and then we link out to a lot of the national organizations. So please utilize them.
Yes. I mean, you have a lot of information and have given so much wisdom and everything. So what's your motivation, though? Like, I know it must be hard to just do what you do every single day. Like, what is your key motivation?
Wow. Gosh, I just can't tell you how passionate I am about this. I almost feel like, you know, it's part of my, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Like, what are the chances that you have a kid with food allergy and you're a researcher and you're studying it, you're a pediatrician? So I love what I do. I literally now during COVID work from when I wake up till when I go to bed, I do spend time with that food allergic daughter. No, I mean, my kids and my family, but you know, it's so fun. And my kids ask me sometimes why I work so much. And it's so exciting for me, because if it has an impact in one child's life, one adult's life, makes it a little bit better, you know, what more could you want, right? Like, we're all out there to make a difference and make the world a little bit better. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to do that by continuing this work.
Yes, I'm sure your kids are also very inspired by you.
I don't know about that. Okay.
I just want to move towards school, right? When we were back in school, we had cafeterias, right? And we had food allergy tables, actually, and no food allergy tables. Obviously, people with allergies are going to feel a little left out, and it could actually impact mental health in a way. And I want to kind of move to like food allergies and mental health, because I'm actually really, really curious about that. Has your child's mental health changed at all? Or as a pediatrician, have you seen any patients who kind of shifted in mental health because of that?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we hired a clinical psychologist last year because of this. She was really interested, and there needs to be so much more research around interventions for children and for parents to improve their ability to deal with the anxiety that comes with having food allergy. And so I think this is a really important area. We're having, you know, we've published multiple studies on quality of life and empowerment. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's fascinating to me, because what we find is that if you've just had an allergic reaction, especially a severe allergic reaction, after that is where the anxiety goes up a lot. And also when you're just newly diagnosed, there's a lot of anxiety around food allergies. So we are working on interventions to deal with those two, especially, you know, that, like, to do something right away in those two situations, but then in general. So there are amazing researchers around the country that are really getting into this aspect. We talk a lot about allergists having specialized psychologists who can talk and work with families. And it should almost be a part of it, because you do have to think about, how are you going to deal with this in the real world, right? How are you going to go to school and sit in the cafeteria next to somebody eating your allergen if you have to? Or how are you going to sit at that table, you know, and handle not being with your friends, you know, and being kind of isolated or you know, put somewhere else? And so all of these things are, you know, how do we best work that? You know, what is the solution in schools? What is the solution to keep kids safe? And how do we decrease that anxiety? And then when they get to your age, right? Like, now you're wanting to hang out with your friends and you're wanting to go out to eat and you don't want to be different, you know? And so how do we help kids, students, adults manage those situations? So mental health is such an important area, just in general, but in food allergy. But I do want to leave you with one thing that I think is really cool, because we always talk about all the negative aspects of it. And when we did ask young adults, high school students and college students, about their food allergy, a couple of things they told us, which I think were really interesting, is one of the best things that helps them is peer support. Okay. So that's why we got into this peer-to-peer videos, because they feel like if their friends are supportive, if their core friends are supportive, then it's a lot easier for them to manage their food allergy. The other thing we asked them is, how has food allergy, has it done anything positive in your life? And ta-da, what do you think they said? Here's your question, Rhea. What did they gain from having food allergy?
I would say they would feel different and unique in their own way. I know for me, for a fact, that I feel like I can do something that could be different than anybody else, right? I'm not that same, oh, I don't have any food allergies, things like that. But I do have food allergies. Of course, there's a negative to that. But to the positive side, I could actually help people by, you know, doing this podcast, you know, creating studies and actually making a difference in the world because I have those food allergies, right? People who don't have food allergies can't necessarily do that and relate to other people. And also making these connections, like you and a lot of other people, like, I can make connections with people and it could be very helpful, you know? So I feel like that is that what they said?
That, I mean, you pretty much put a couple of the things they said together. So the number one thing, which is really what you said, is they are more empowered. They are more, they can speak to others what they're, you know, like, they advocate for themselves, right? And so you said advocating for yourself, but also advocating for others. So the first thing they was their empowerment and their ability to advocate for themselves, because you have to. And then the second thing, which was also related to what you said, was they're more empathetic, that they can see, they support other people who have other issues. Right. So you kind of combine the top two. So very good. And then what else do they say? They said they eat healthier, which is kind of cool. They actually know what's a food group. So yeah, that was the positive aspect to growing up with a food allergy.
Yes, that's great that you shared that. And I know when I go to restaurants, you know, as you said, like, I do go out, like, I'm a 15-year-old girl and I do go out to, like, restaurants with my friends sometimes, just like, obviously not during COVID, but you know, before COVID, I used to go out with my friends sometimes, and we would all obviously order for ourselves, and I would always have to ask, oh, does these have nuts in it, right? And I feel like I always repeating it over and over again, and I feel like, oh, I feel embarrassed, and I really shouldn't, now that I know, and I spoke to so many people with the same allergies as me, I feel like I really shouldn't really worry about it. I mean, I'm saying, oh, make sure this doesn't have nuts. And it's something that I shouldn't be embarrassed about it. even though like it's different than everybody else, different is good. That's what my dad always says. Being different is a good thing.
And yes. So everybody's different. Everybody's got something, you know, and we just have to remember that. This is just your thing, you know? And,
exactly. Yeah. Everybody goes through something, whether you know it or not. So yeah, I just want to say thank you so much. And I actually want to, can you share one story to leave us off with, just one story about a positive, something positive, a allergic reaction or some patient of yours that you could have? Do you have any of those stories, peaceful outcomes?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I have so many. I feel like there's so many positive outcomes, even when you have negative outcomes. One young woman, just like you, who was in high school, who had, you know, very severe food allergies, decided to become an advocate too, and gave herself epinephrine so many times that she decided she would video it so she could show people that it was not as big of a deal. You know, like when she videoed herself having a reaction and giving herself epinephrine, and she would show that, you know, so that people could feel like, oh my gosh, she was having an allergic reaction. She stayed calm. She used epinephrine and then she felt better. And I think when young people like you show others, you know, how you deal with it, you know, and how you can deal with it. And then, continued to advocate, made epinephrine boxes, but actually went through oral immunotherapy and now can also eat peanuts and some of our allergens. And so that's one positive story. There's hundreds. And so I think we're lucky, all these positive stories. And, you know, even the kids who had these severe reactions, but if you can come out of it on the other side and learn from it and know what to do. And if you do have anxiety and fear, and any kind of mental health issues after it, you know, get help and support yourself, because knowing all of that is normal. You know, you're not going to just turn into this empowered person and not have any fear and anxiety. Like, all of this is part of the condition. And so I feel like what I tried to tell my patients and my friends and my own daughter is just none of it's wrong, right? And it all puts you at peace when you know you're not alone and you're not the only one. And there's so many others who share in the same feelings. So getting through those feelings and then getting to that empowerment stage is seeing it happen so many times. But it's not just one story, it's hundreds. And everyone listening can do it. And we're all with you on the journey.
Yes, there's always a support system. Dealing with an allergic reaction, you're not alone, right? That's what you're kind of saying. So I'm just going to wrap this up a little bit now, because I'm sure you have places to be. but thank you so much for being on my podcast. You were very, very inspirational, and you shared so much knowledge that could benefit a lot of people. So I want to thank you for that. And thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace. Peace out.